Hey guys, welcome back. We're doing a new module here. Larry is in the house and he's on fire too. Before we were recording, he's like bouncing around like a boxer in the ring. He's just getting ready. And we're going to be talking about the MLS. We're going to start off with that, talking about how to find these deals on the MLS. Larry, how are you?
Man, I'm excited. I'm awesome. Ready to have some fun and make some money and get this baby started.
Larry, let me ask you something. How many leads did you guys get yesterday?
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday? I don't know. It was probably like 30 or 40. But I got to tell you, I came in this morning, and, man, the phone was ringing at like 7:30 this morning, right? And we were in our morning meeting, and it was ringing still. I'm like, man, we got to hurry up and get done with this morning meeting because we got people calling want to sell us a house.
Yeah, that's awesome. Every time I didn't ask Larry if I could ask him that question in advance, but his office is always hustling and bustling with leads coming in, phone ringing, people on the phone with sellers, and they're doing deals, getting properties under contract. Larry, in the last week, how many properties have you gotten under contract, would you say?
Oh, man. I think about three. I think it's three.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. In small town?
We had one that didn't sign. The mobile notary just didn't go out there. And guys, listen, in the real world, I don't mind telling you the good, the bad, and the ugly. We had a mobile notary that was going out to a guy's house, and she was supposed to be there. I think it was 5 or 6 o'clock, but she didn't call. She didn't show. The next morning, she calls and says, hey, I'm the mobile notary. I'm supposed to come out to your house. He said, no, forget about it. Forget about it. I've changed my mind. So that's why you got to get them out there in 2 hours, right? In 2 hours, you got to get somebody out to the house within 2 hours. Get them to sign because, hey, she didn't call, she didn't show. And we called the owner of the mobile notary service and said, look, you can't be doing this. They can't be doing it. And they have specific instructions. Do not call. Show up at 5 o'clock only. Do not call. Show up, right? And she said, well, it was so far away, I'm not going to go without calling. But she waited the next day. By then, it was too late. That's a prime example of you got to get them on the dotted line in 2 hours.
Wow.
I lost that deal. That was a nice, nice house. I'm buying it. I was buying it for $32,000, right? That which is what he owed on it. And he sent me pictures of the house. It needs no work. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, vinyl siding with a double carport, right? Yeah. And he even had a picture of the carport. It's got his Cadillac sitting in there, right? Mm-hmm. And he was moving out next week. So that's a prime example of you got to get them on the dotted line in 2 hours. Or it could be a dead deal. They talk to somebody. They change their mind. He said, I'm just going to rent it. Now, before we get into MLS, this is a whole nother lesson here. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but let me just share this with you. If somebody says they're going to rent their house, right? First thing I say is, have you ever been a landlord? Do you know what it's like to be a landlord? You know, do you know how to qualify a tenant, right? Do you know what kind of credit score you're looking for? Do you know what debt ratio? Do you know the proper disclosures you've got to give them? Do you know landlord-tenant regulations, right? All that stuff matters. Now, here's the reason I ask that. I want to get them thinking, man, I don't want to be a landlord. But here's the other thing. I know what's coming next. I know exactly what's coming next. They're going to say, I'm going to rent it to my nephew. I'm going to rent it to my sister. I'm going to rent it to my cousin. I'm going to rent it to my grandson. I'm going to rent it to my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what you say then. You know, I learned a long, long time ago, never, ever, ever rent a property to someone you would hesitate to evict, right? Because it's not a matter of if, but when they stop paying you, right? And then it creates a lot of animosity, problems with the family, you know, family get-togethers are awkward. So you could go down that road if you want to, but I'm just telling you, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Right.
Yeah, that's good. You know, one of the things you could do is you could tell a story of somebody you know in the past that's had the problem with that before.
That's true, Joe. Yeah. Facts tell, stories sell.
Yeah. You could say something like, man, oh, wow. I knew a guy that rented his house out to his daughter and they stopped paying. And it was, man, it was really uncomfortable having to evict them. I felt really, really bad for them. Don't lie, you know, like find a true story like that.
Ooh, and there I've got are a lot of stories. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. I'm going to start doing that now, Joe. Thanks for reminding me. You know, sometimes it's important to be reminded about things as it is to learn new things, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because people sometimes don't like being preached to, but if you could tell it in a story, like, oh, man, I knew a guy who was killed with double mortgage payments. Like, you've got at least 6 months reserves, right, in case this thing doesn't sell? Questions like that. But telling it as a story.
Exactly. Good. So true. You
know, we have our own deal, Larry. I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast we recorded, but we flipped a vacant lot 2 days ago, made $10,300 profit on that deal.
Sweet.
It's about a 6-acre lot in the middle of nowhere, Oregon. We found this deal through some direct mail. We sent offers, just blind offers, and the seller accepted it, but we found out he wasn't really actually the owner. So it's a long story, but we actually contacted the real owner, found out that there was like a $15,000 or $20,000 lien against the property. We negotiated that down to $2,000. And so we gave the seller, the guy who used to own it, it's a long story. Well, no, actually, we paid off the lien holder, $2,000, and then we paid about $3,000 or $4,000 in back taxes. We bought it for $6,000, and we sold it for about $17,000.
Sweet.
Small.
That's awesome. Like that. That's
awesome. We could have sold it with owner financing in an IRA if we wanted to, and get $200-$300 a month in cash flow without any tenant hassles and headaches, without paying any taxes on it.
Right.
The growth taxes. All right. So I'm excited about this, Larry. I really enjoy doing these classes with you. I'm going to be sad when they're over, but we're going to be talking about finding, we're talking about marketing, how do you find these deals? And the next topic in here is about the MLS, right? Multiple listing service.
Can you talk about just anything that's listed, already listed, right? Where it's available for public information, right?
Okay, good. All right, good. So what do you have for us?
Good. So, guys, I got to tell you, I am a licensed general contractor and a licensed real estate broker, but I'm not even active. So a lot of people think, well, Larry, you've got a license. You have back-end MLS access. No, I don't, okay? No, I don't. You do not need any kind of back-end MLS real estate agent or broker access to be able to do this, okay? You don't need that. Now, before we jump in, I think it's very, very important to talk about real estate cycles, right? Real estate cycles. When real estate is hot, okay, and we're at the top, right? When real estate is hot, it's going to be very difficult to find a lot of deals that are listed or on the MLS because everybody's chasing those same deals and there's fewer foreclosures, right?
Yeah.
Now, when the market goes down like in 07, 08, and 09, you know, even 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I was buying all of my deals off the MLS, all of them off the MLS, right? But when the market starts going up and the economy is really good like it is right now, then the thing is, you're not going to get a lot of your deals on the MLS. However, I want to tell you this. With small town profits, the deals that you get are going to be much better deals, and you're going to be able to get deals when people in large MSAs can't even get good deals on the MLS. Because here's the thing. Let's say if at any given time there's 400 houses available in an area, right? Well, even when that goes down to 200, the ones that are in the MSA, everybody's chasing those deals. But out in small town USA, nobody's trying to get those deals, right? So you can still get really, really good deals in small town USA, right? It's very, very important. And before we even jump into the websites that I use and what I do, I think it's very important to talk about what I look for in listed properties, okay? I used to say I didn't want anything older than I was, right? 1960 or newer, right? And I used to say I only want three bedrooms. You know, I only want 1,000-plus square feet. Man, I'll buy anything. There is a – remember this, guys. There's a buyer for every house at the right price. There's a buyer for every house at the right price. I had a house a while back over in Forest City, North Carolina, which is about an hour from Charlotte. And we bought this house and we paid $2,000 for it. The house was the one bedroom and it was gutted. There was nothing in it except old, old wall studs, right? And they were, it was the rough cut lumber. $2,000 I was paying for that house. You know, it took me a while, but I found a buyer that paid me $9,000 for it. Now I only made $7,000 on the deal, right? It was a thin deal, but $7,000 for a one bedroom that's gutted. Come on, you know, in small town USA, I did find a buyer for it, right?
So it reminds me in the land flipping business, when we flip land, there's a saying that there's a pig for every barn. You ever heard that before? Maybe that applies more to land than houses, but there's a pig for every barn.
That's funny. I love it. I love it. So on the MLS stuff, what I like to look for and what you can get the best deals on are the houses that have been on the market for 60 to 75 plus days, right? In other words, if there's a house that's on the market for $50,000, if it's been on the market for 2 weeks, they're not going to take $20,000, okay? But the cool thing about the MLS, especially the bank-owned properties, which is the majority of what we buy off the MLS, is the bank-owned properties, if it's listed for $50,000, if it doesn't sell in 30 days, they're going to drop it probably to, you know, it's probably $49,900. They're going to drop it to $44,900. Then they're going to drop it to $39,900. Then they're going to drop it to $34,900, right? And then I'm going to pick it up for $20,000, right? Mm-hmm. So look for the ones that have been on the market for at least 60 to 75 days, at least, right? Yeah. And I love the ones that have been on the market for a year or so, right? Now, if I see one that was listed for, say, $150,000, and then after a month or two or three or whatever, they dropped it down to 99. They dropped it $50,000 at once. That's a red flag. Something's going on with this. Maybe they found out there's no easement for the driveway. There's no driveway. There's a bad survey. You know, something. I don't know what it is. But you've got to call and find out why this property was dropped very fast like that, right? You got to find out what the story is. Also, when you're calling and talking to the listing agent, we'll talk more about negotiating later, but what you got to do is you got to make sure that you know why that price has dropped and why the property's not selling, right? Why the property isn't selling, okay? Realistically, most of the time, it's not selling just because the realtors don't market. Their marketing is put a sign in the yard and stick it on the MLS. That's their marketing, right? That's not our marketing. That's not our marketing. We generate at least 100 to 200 buyer leads a week with all of our marketing, okay? And we're going to be talking about selling our properties soon, coming up on another module, okay? But so with the MLS stuff, you want to look for the properties that have been on the market 60 to 75 days or more and have been dropped a couple of times, right? And I personally like to always look at the bank-owned properties or at least vacant. And most of the vacant ones are bank-owned property. My philosophy is I don't like to bother people that are living in their house, because if I tell somebody I'm going to buy their house, I get a contract on it, and they're packing, they're moving up, they're taking a week off of work, they're leasing an apartment, they put up a deposit, and then all of a sudden I say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to buy your property, which doesn't happen often, but occasionally it will happen, right? Occasionally it will happen. So I don't like to mess with people's lives, right? That's their life, it was their home, they're moving out, and now tell them I'm not closing. man, the agent's going to be upset, the seller's going to be upset, and it's going to hurt your reputation. So a lot of times, I shouldn't say a lot of times, most all the time, if I see a house that has furniture in it, I just move on past it. I just move on past it. I don't even look at it, right? I like the vacant properties. And most of those end up being bank-owned properties. That makes sense, Joe?
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. So I know you're going to talk about this, but when you are looking for the MLS properties, are you looking on different websites? Are you looking into your own MLS that you have access to? How are you doing that?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I don't have any kind of back-end MLS access. Okay. Guess where I look? Zillow. Zillow.com is where I look. Now, I can look on Realtor.com, right? Realtor.com is available for anybody. You don't have to have back-end MLS access. Realtor.com. But here's the reason I like Zillow, okay? Not only do you have the MLS properties, but individual owners can also post their properties there, so they show up in my search results as well. The other reason I like Zillow is that Zillow allows you to search a wider area. You can search entire states. I even have a search result. I have a model I call Filthy Riches, where I buy $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 houses all over. I've got a search results of a, because I only want really good houses on this, okay? Because I want to increase my odds of being able to sell them, because we buy them at, say, $10,000. We'll sell or finance it for $39,900 and get a couple thousand down. But I have a search result set up, a safe search for 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses, a minimum of 1,200 square feet in the entire United States. And it's actually $30,000 or less. So I know if it's a 3-bedroom, if it's 2-bath, 1,200 square feet, right? And it's $30,000 or less, all I got to do is look for the condition, right? Because it makes it much easier to sell that kind of house, right? And then what I do is I sort them by cheapest. Zillow has a thing. You can sort your search results by cheapest or square footage or lot size or number of bedrooms or number of baths. You know, sometimes I even do a search result. I've got a saved search that I do of a minimum of 4 bedrooms, right? A minimum of 4 bedrooms. And then I sort those by the number of square footage, right? The amount of square footage of the house. So if I find a house that is a 3,000 square foot house, 4-bedroom house, and it's $30,000, I'm going to call about that house, right? First, I'm going to look at all the pictures and make sure it's really a fixer-upper and not a blower-upper. But I'm going to call about that house and find out, why is this house not selling? What's going on with it, right? Because those are the kind of houses that are much easier to sell, especially if you know what you're doing and you can market those houses. If you got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 1,200-plus square foot house, 3,000 square foot house, and I've got my price range down low, 50 or 30,000 or whatever or less, then I know those are the kind of houses that I can sell pretty easily, right? It's much easier to sell a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house than it is a 3-1 or a 2-1, right? And it's even easier to sell a 4-bedroom house for the same price, right? People love that. They love that, right? And the realtors, I don't mean this in a bad way toward the realtors, but when you go to real estate school, they don't teach you anything about sales and marketing. It's all about compliance and rules and regs. They don't know how to market, right? So, but we do, and we make the phone ring off the hook. So I use Realtor.com a little. I mainly use Zillow.com. I mainly use Zillow. You can also use sites like Trulia. There's one out there called PropBot, PropBot, Property Bot. There's another one called Search Tempest. SearchTempest.com allows you to search Craigslist, eBay, and some other websites of a lot of listed property. It might not be MLS listed property, but it's properties that individuals have listed. And you know how when you search on Craigslist, it's one little small market or another market over here or another market over here. Search Tempest allows you to search a whole region or a whole state or multiple states at once, right? Good. And then there's other stuff like Oodle, Buy Owner Daily, and even eBay. With eBay, by the way, you go to realestate.ebay.com, realestate.ebay.com. And then I just do a search for that. Now, that section of eBay is all of the real estate. So guess what my search criteria is? I search for the keywords no reserve. I want to find the properties that they have no reserve on, right? You can pick up properties for $100, $200, $500. It will blow you away how cheap you can get properties in small town USA on eBay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Do you ever use Redfin?
You know, I don't use it that much. Redfin is a good site, but I haven't. I mean, man, I got more deals that I can handle right now. I am trying to. I'm actually trying to hire more acquisition people right now.
Is it all right, Larry? Could we go to, can I share my screen and you can walk me through what you search for in Zillow and how you find these older listings?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
And you should be able to see it here in just a second.